This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Another part here to our conversation with M.E. Thomas. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the mind of a sociopath because, well, that's what she is. Confessions of a Sociopath, A Life Spent Hiding in Plain Sight. Her very fascinating book. Is this something where, you know, it's so easy to put people into a basket and, you know, make a label. But obviously it goes much deeper than that. Do you feel like in our society today there are, the numbers, I know you said it's like 1 in 25 that have this. Do you feel that that's accurate, or are there more people that have this and we don't pay enough attention to trying to help them identify what's going on so they can lead a more fulfilled life and have a better sense of self? Do we just kind of brush this off as, you're crazy, and then, you know, it's not helping anything?
Yes, I agree. I agree that if you just kind of brush it off as they're crazy, then it's weird to me because I hear these quotes sometimes from people, so from researchers who name, you know, like, the cost of psychopathy to society is like in the billions or whatever. And I say, well, why not spend just a little bit more money researching it? It's one of the least funded research fields for psychology. There's no real attempt to find a treatment for people who suffer from it. Yeah. They're just, in the past few years, there's a new nonprofit, Psychopathy Is, and it's the only nonprofit that has made any attempts to help people who have psychopathy in their family. You know, they have a psychopath that, you know, that like a loved one, or, you know, people say they're recovering from a psychopath, a relationship with a psychopath. There's no attempt to help psychopaths themselves. So you could walk into a therapist, and I have, you know, like a Discord channel where they talk about this, where they have to hide the fact that they're a psychopath from their therapist because no therapist will treat them.
Sure. And that's, I mean, it's kind of shocking that there isn't more research into this because there's so many individuals with personality disorders. When you looked into this, the difference between being a sociopath versus what about someone with Asperger's who also may have difficulty connecting with other people, or just narcissistic personality disorder. And then of course there's psychopath. How did you recognize your own traits of what you fell into, that you weren't, you know, Asperger's or something of that nature? Because, you know, you're not killing anyone, and everyone associates, you know, sociopath or psychopath with some sort of violent behavior. How did you determine that this is where you are?
So I think all human behavior falls on a spectrum, you know, and things that we kind of associate with psychopathy, like lack of empathy, you know, no feelings of guilt, you know, superficial charm, you know, glibness, easy lying, manipulation, those type of features. You do see them, you know, grandiosity, for instance, you see it with narcissism too. Yeah. And I think it's easier to think of it in terms of a personality disorder, like you either do or don't have a personality disorder with certain features, you know, and certain features tend to kind of point towards narcissism, and other features tend to point towards psychopathy. But I think the main thing is that you have a personality disorder, and the personality disorder just manifests itself differently. But I think it's basically the same thing ultimately, which is you have some disruption or some inability to kind of feel your sense of identity, your sense of self, your sense of your personality in a normal way, the way that everybody else does. So I think that distinction is pretty easy. You know, Asperger's, I guess it's now part of the autism spectrum disorders. Yeah. I don't really know that much about it, honestly.
Yeah.
But people say, you know, it's kind of entered like, you know, the common lexicon now, like if you're like a little rigid or if you like things a certain way, then you must be autistic. You know, I don't know. That seems really armchair diagnosis.
It does. It's very kind of catch all. I don't even think they even use the term Asperger's anymore. But I guess it's a very broad spectrum of that. But there are some similar type traits of difficulty relating to other people, or just you can't. But you're just trying to almost mimic behavior to kind of get through life. It's just one of those other things that I think so many people struggle with, not necessarily Asperger's, but this ability to connect with others. And again, there's just not enough, it feels, you know, out there to help people get on with life in a positive way. We see so many violent acts that go on and people that seem to have no real connection to the choices that they're making if they're extreme and bad. And the rest of us look at it going like, how could you not? Something where is there a lot of hope? Because that's always been the thing. It's like, well, they got this, they're borderline, they're this or that, you better run. they're never going to get better. And even if they do a little bit, you're not going to even notice it from someone standing on the outside. Is this something where if we had more research, if we had more understanding, that you think more people could, I don't want to say be healed, because I think I get it. It can be a superpower if used correctly, but can also be used nefariously. Is this something, if understood better, that we could have more productive people who have this sort of personality disorder living a better life?
So I think there are two aspects of that. I think that one is a kind of societal shift that probably would help a lot. And it's the same thing that happened with autism, where we used to think of autism as basically just bad, autism, people get a diagnosis of their child having autism, back in the 90s or the 80s.
Yeah.
And it would be like, okay, this person is handicapped for life and, not like a shell of a person. And it just took a lot of education. And I think people speaking out about their experience for people to finally understand what does it actually mean to have autism.
Yeah.
And so I think in a similar sense, it's unpopular to state this, but some people with autism, they do experience violence. They have violent tendencies.
Yeah.
Not everybody. And I think it's like a similar thing with psychopaths. Some psychopaths do experience violent tendencies. You can kind of see how if you aren't connected to people in the same sort of way, maybe it is easier to be violent. But also, even when you are connected to people, there's still violence. I remember in law school learning in my criminal law class that if you were just really emotional at the time, that you could get off for murder. You're just like so jealous that you killed, your spouse and the lover of the spouse, because you caught them in the act, that was fine. And I was like, this is so weird. It's still murder. To me, I thought this is still cold-blooded murder, but why are we excusing this? Is this just because that's the way that the majority feels? Everybody kind of, most people, I guess, all non-psychopaths, the neurotypicals are just like, yeah, that's what anyone would do, but it's not what I would do. I wouldn't kill someone for those reasons.
Sure.
So it seems weird to me, the ways that you guys kind of justify like some of your bad behavior. And this is another thing too. The biggest group that's more prone to violence is actually just men. If you do some like back of the envelope calculations, you just take kind of like a genderless, whatever person, they are more likely to be violent if you make them male than if you make them a psychopath, and we're just so used to having men though.
Yeah.
We're like used to kind of like, okay, sure. War, or, rape or these are just things that we have to kind of deal with. And we're not going to kind of just ignore this entire, 50% of humanity just because they have some of these features that we don't like, because we also realize they have features that we do like. And even if they had no features that we like, they're still human. We should still treat them as humans. Like it doesn't make sense to kind of just dehumanize an entire class of people.
Sure.
So I think some of it's social, like if I was able to just speak openly, to people around me, people at church or people in my community or people at work or whatever about the way that I feel, then I wouldn't have to mask,
sure.
And I wouldn't have to lie. I wouldn't have to pretend.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I would have like more meaningful connections because you wouldn't freak out, people would just be like fine with it. They'd be like, okay, just kind of like autism is now.
Sure.
Right. So I think some of it social.
Very black. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. The other half really is, it is like an internal journey because it's, there are bad parts about it. We've been talking about how if you don't feel your sense of self, you're not personally connected to anything. There's no self-expression. There's meaninglessness. There's that existential angst.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good to me. Maybe other people don't experience it as much. And so maybe they're like less inclined to get help. But I do think for the people that do want to get help, it makes a lot of sense to have some sort of option for a long time, people thought borderline personality disorder was not treatable, but now it very much is with dialectical behavioral therapy, which was just, you know, it was actually, I just learned this. It was found, it was invented, I guess, discovered by someone who suffered herself from what she thought was borderline personality disorder. But it's interesting because even changes like that, I learned this too from a legal training seminar that in California, there's something called the diversion program, criminal sentencing diversion program, where instead of sending them to prison, if they have a mental health disorder that at least significantly contributed to the crime that they committed, you can instead send them to a treatment program for their mental health disorder. But there are three exceptions to this. You know, if you have a mental health disorder and it's one of these three, then you can't. You have to go to prison. One of them is borderline personality disorder, even though that there's a very clear treatment that helps them. You know, it's like the only thing that helps them, and it has a very high success of helping them. The other one is psychopathy, and the third is pedophilia. So I think it's kind of sad that we're just like, you know, we're not even going to bother treating these people. We're just going to like throw them in prison, and expensive too.
Sure. And it doesn't really help anyone or anybody. I mean, and even if they are in prison, you know, rehabilitation would be good in more ways of helping people find just mental peace where they otherwise, you know, couldn't do it. It sounds to me like it's a lot of very much the way you were speaking of interpersonal relationships, very black and white thinking where it's like, look, this is just fact. This is what it is. This is how it works. Why are you all having emotions about this or that? Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, I would say so. Everything kind of seems like mechanical.
Yeah.
I have a one psychopath I met said it's like having just a bunch of Excel spreadsheets running into her head.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Now, wasn't that interesting? That was very interesting. Confessions of a Sociopath, A Life Spent Hiding in Plain Sight. M.E. Thomas, the author. Do check that out. Like the music? My name's Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our conversations and the coverage of the cases that we are following for you. Interesting insight there behind some of those minds that we deal with on a daily basis here. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of those updates. There's plenty more on the way. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.